Good morning. Thank you, Janice, for your reading today. Thanks also to Tony and Mark, our deacons today. Thanks, as always, to Melody, the music musician, and our council, and our sound and tech guys, and our video wizards. And most of all, thanks to you for coming to worship today. Will you join me in a short word of prayer? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you and helpful to all. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I'd like you to look again with me at this gospel text and follow along for just a moment. Yeah, that's a good place to start. I wonder, as you were listening to this morning, if you felt as unsettled and dismayed by this short gospel text as I did. When confronted by a desperate woman in need, Jesus chooses to ignore her. So my first response was, wait a minute, that's not the Jesus I know. This must be a typo or a misprint. So I read the story again, no typo, no misprint. The text says, he did not answer her at all. I've never known Jesus to ignore anybody. So I was surprised. So Jesus. The Jesus I believe, I have come to know and trust, is behaving out of character. Why? So upon second reading, I began to justify Jesus' behavior. I felt loyal to him, despite the fact that I disapproved of his initial response to that woman. Well, he and the disciples are exhausted, I reasoned, and they appear to have veered off course in their travels, ending up in the pagan twin cities of Tyre and Sidon, cities that faithful Jews are not allowed to enter, according to their tradition, unless to transact a trade or offer a service, because there are no synagogues in pagan cities, no refuge from the unclean nature of a religion they perceive to be idolatrous. Okay, now as a reader, I feel a little bit better about this text. Our understanding of Jesus is that he has a dual and paradoxical nature. He's both fully human and fully divine. Well, I thought, Jesus is having a very human day. And as the story progresses, Matthew really cranks up the drama and the suspense. The woman drops to her knees and begs Jesus for mercy. Well, there's no ignoring her now. But what he then says to her seems worse than ignoring her. Now he dismisses her using an ethnic slur by implying that she is no better than a dog. Okay, now my third time reading the story. Yeah, there it is. Because something is happening here that I'm not picking up. And then the woman contradicts Jesus in clear and unequivocal terms when she says that even if she is a dog, she's worthy of a few crumbs of mercy. And now I find myself cheering for this woman. You go, girl. Don't let this patriarchal holier-than-thou son of David treat you as less than. But now I really have a problem. I'm a Christian, And I'm not only criticizing Jesus' behavior, but I'm cheering for his opponent. Now, usually when Matthew sets up this kind of conflict, it's with one of those holier-than-thou Pharisees, and I know who to root for in that game. I have no problem puffing out my reader's chest a little and thinking, that'll teach you, you hypocrite. Yeah, listen to the man. And then, right then, to my great relief and joy, Jesus acts like Jesus again. Great is your faith, he says. Wait a minute. Now, Jesus is finally Jesus. Thank God. Wow. Matthew is one powerful gospel writer. In only a few sentences, he crafts a story that makes me question my own unquestionable assumptions. And now I realize what he's done, instead of making me sympathize with Jesus against the Pharisees, now I'm rooting for this woman in need against the powerful man who's standing over her, and that's all intentional. Now, in those stories with the Pharisees, we're meant to identify with the Pharisees and see the flaws in our own characters. Usually it's for some kind of hypocrisy or they've got something wrong and we're supposed to go, oh, okay, that's the Pharisee in me. Not gonna do that. Try not to do that. But here, it's Jesus. The man with the biggest spark of divinity the earth has ever seen in his soul. And it makes me think, am I supposed to be Jesus in this story? Am I supposed to see myself as the one who often ignores someone in help, someone in need? Am I the one who's supposed to see myself in someone who, maybe even unconsciously, dismisses someone who needs help? Okay, so now I've got a bit of my confidence back as a reader. 40 years of teaching people to read helps. But now I have a bigger problem. What are we to take away from this text that can encourage our own faith? Because now I want some of that faith that that courageous woman brought to her story. Okay, let me offer a quick breakdown then. For me, this little story is about overcoming boundaries. Because my intuition tells me there are no boundaries in the kingdom of heaven. So what are the boundaries to faith that Jesus breaks down in this story? It turns out three things are very much at the center of our own 2026 culture wars in America. Gender, ethnicity, and religion. These things divide people perhaps more than any others. So all right, one by one. First, gender. As a son of David, Jesus may not talk to an unaccompanied woman. Further, she may not approach him in public. Now this is bizarre to us, I know, but that was the reality in that time and in that place. Even the synagogues were segregated. The men sat at the feet of the rabbi, and the women had to stand on the other side of a barrier at the side or in the back of the building. And they were not allowed to speak. Religion was man's business. This means that even when Jesus was teaching the scriptures, his mother had to stand behind a barrier to listen. So by acknowledging this woman in a verbal exchange, Jesus crosses one barrier. Next, ethnicity. This woman's ancestors are Phoenician and Assyrian. The Phoenicians were ancient shipbuilders. They were the greatest navigators and the richest traders in the Mediterranean. The Assyrians were a powerful military dictatorship who dominated and subjugated the Jewish people for more than a century. So there's barrier number two. A good and faithful Jew avoided a Syrophoenician like the plague. And as we hear in this story, they freely used the slur dog to describe them. Barrier number three, religion. This woman is identified as a Canaanite, which means, among others, she worships the fertility god Baal, a classic enemy and rival of Judaism. Some of you remember the mock battle of the gods that the prophet Elijah set up in order to prove that Yahweh was the one true God, while Baal was just a false god. In ancient Judaism, idolatry was a non-negotiable issue. So there's barrier number three, religion. She's a woman, she's of a different race, and a different religion. So, what was the trigger for Jesus? What divine impulse overthrew his human habits? He speaks it aloud, and his words change everything. Woman, great is your faith. And this is so Jesus. Yes, that's the man. That's our Jesus. We recognize this theme. This biblical theme rings all the bells for us. Okay, hold that thought. What are the chief dividing issues in American culture right now? I would say that our loudest and most harmful and hurtful public arguments are about gender, ethnicity, and religion. So what's the Lord's word for us today? Number one, look with kindness on your neighbor. When this woman challenges Jesus by turning his insult to shame, she awakens him. That divine spark is rekindled and flames up, and this woman's faith in him is the spark. Look with kindness upon your neighbor. Number two, act with compassion. Contact with divinity raises our empathy, and Jesus spends a lot of one-on-one time with his Abba Father. Jesus, therefore, now feels the impact of this woman's pain, and he responds by meeting her need. Act with compassion. Three, respond in love. Remember the words of St. John, God is love, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Love is the strongest unifying force in the universe. Love and love only is the single most powerful healer of our ills. As the late great Bishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador said, let us never tire of preaching love. It is the force that will overcome the world. Respond in love. So let this be God's word for us today. As Christians living in a time of strife and division, in a time when anger and fear and our worst predatory impulses are on full display. We choose kindness. We choose compassion. We choose love. Truly, when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, everything and everybody belongs. God's love knows no bounds, recognizes no borders, honors the dignity of all life. If you're visiting at Bethel Lutheran Church today, we want you to know that that river of mercy and healing that flowed from heaven through the ancient pagan city streets flows today from the cross of Jesus. And in a little while, our deacons will invite you to come forward and receive communion. In our church, there are no boundaries to God's loving kindness. All are welcome. No matter your gender identity, no matter your race or ethnicity, no matter your religion or none, if you feel called to receive the love and forgiveness symbolized for us in the ritual of communion, please come forward at that time and join us as we celebrate the presence of Christ in our midst. But first, because you're stuck with me today, I have a poem to share. It's found in the insert of your bulletin. Feel free to follow along and read it with me as I read it aloud for us. This is Santa Cruz poet Danusha Lemiris's most famous poem, and it's called Small Kindnesses. I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull in their legs to let you by. Or how strangers still say bless you when someone sneezes. A leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we're saying. And sometimes when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of coffee hot and to say thank you to the person handing it, to smile at them and for them to smile back, for the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder, and for the driver in the red pickup to let us pass. We have so little of each other now, so far from tribe and fire. Only these brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy? These fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Or, go ahead, you first. Or, I like your hat. Once again, I'd like to finish my remarks today by inviting you to participate in a guided meditation. It's brief, but it consists of three parts. Each part contains four affirmations. So it's a series of 12 very short prayers. The first part begins with a focus on the self. The second expands the focus to the community here at Bethel. And the third part opens the prayer to all of creation, three expanding circles of attention. So, take a minute to straighten yourself up in that chair, and if you can, put both feet on the ground. Let's work a little bit on relaxing our body. We've been sitting in our very comfortable pews, which sometimes aren't that comfortable. And I find just a little shrugging of the shoulders can help. You know, we carry a lot of tension in here and sometimes in our jaw. I notice that sometimes if I'll massage my jaw just a little bit, that will help. And now please close your eyes. And let's focus together on the breath. We don't have to breathe any special way when we do this. We just want to pay attention to the way the air moves in easily and out. And we just pay attention to the movement of our breath. In doing that, the worries and regrets of our past fall away. The future is a distant unknown, but the here and now is what's real. And here we are together, breathing together in this room. And now please repeat these phrases quietly to yourself. O God, may I be safe and well. May I look with kindness. May I act with compassion. May I awaken to love. May Bethel Lutheran Church be safe and well. May Bethel look with kindness. May Bethel act with compassion. May Bethel awaken to love. May all beings be safe and well. May all beings look with kindness. May all beings act with compassion. May all beings awaken to love. Let it be so. And now please open your eyes and take a moment to reorient to the worship space. Feel yourself surrounded by the community that loves you. You are a beloved child of God. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.